Welcome TFL Pass subscribers to the December 1st, 2004 edition of TFL Audio. We are coming to you from TechSideline.com's headquarters in Radford, Virginia, just a short drive away from Blacksburg, and it is windy, so that ought to take you guys back to your days in the burg. We've got wind gusts of up to 40 miles an hour, according to the weatherman, so be glad you're not here. Hope everybody's doing well. I, for one, am not. I've got the mother of all colds, though it is improving, so if I sound stranger than usual, that's the reason, and if I take a break or if things go mute on this end, I'm probably just taking a quick break to cough up a lung or something like that. But I will soldier on because I know how hungry you guys are for VT Sports Talk. So glad you could join us for the show. Usually you hear others interviewing me, but this edition of TSL Audio, we're doing something new, and I'm interviewing someone else. And today's guest is Brian Knoll of Canes Time Magazine and CanesTime.com of the Insiders Network, which is now called Scout.com. So we'll get to Brian in just a minute to talk about Saturday's game, and I'm sure that the knowledge that he is the first ever guest here on TSL Audio is just filling him to the brim with confidence. But, hey, what can I say? We're all making history here, including you, by listening in. First, some news of the day. The injury front, we have posted a news and notes update on TechSideline.com about injuries, and basically Tech's got a few players who are struggling. The game Saturday against Virginia was, without a doubt, the most physical game I've seen all year, and a lot of Hokies came out of that one banged up. Mike Emo is still suffering from his hamstring strain, but Mike feels that'll be cleared up by Saturday, and he'll be full speed to go against the Canes. The injury that they're really worried about is Jimmy Martin, the left offensive tackle. Jimmy got a high ankle sprain against Virginia, and they've got him on crutches and a boot right now, and that's the one that's most worrisome to me as an observer of the team, because Jimmy is a good lineman. He protects Brian Randall's blind side, so we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one. Jonathan Lewis and Kevin Lewis both suffered broken hands against Virginia. Kevin broke a hand, bone in his hand, and is in a cast, I believe. And Jonathan, if I remember what I read correctly, broke a pinky finger in three different places. Now, my mom, when she was 4 years old, had a pinky removed, and she hasn't missed it. And you know how these football players are. I'm sure if Jonathan's pinky gets to be a problem, he'll just tell the doc to cut it off so he can play against the Canes. And also, we've got Josh Hyman, freshman wide receiver, with a sprained knee that he suffered against UVA, but Josh feels that he will be good to go against the Canes. Other news of the day, UVA is headed to the MPC Computers Bowl out in Boise. We had reported yesterday that they were trying to get a line on the Independence Bowl. And, you know, that, to me, folks, that's an interesting story because Virginia came out and said that they were not going to go to a bowl during exams, of course, and the long and the short of it is that instead of getting to go to Orlando and Disney World, they're shipped out to Boise, Idaho. And, I mean, I think everybody appreciates UVA President John Kesteen's stand on that. You know, you got to applaud that the guy didn't want his players worrying about or compromising their academics for football. But if you're a fan, that's kind of a bummer to be facing Orlando versus Boise and getting the short end of the stick in Boise. Lastly, we've got our future football schedules updated, finally, on TechSideline.com. ACC came out a couple of weeks ago with their matchups from 2006 through 2015. Some really interesting stuff there, I think, folks. If you go to TechSideline.com and just go to the collapsible menus along the top and pull down the football menu, you'll see a future schedules link there. And to me, the interesting things are the Hokies get to travel to Wake again in 2006. That was great. That's a short trip, so I'm really excited about that. And so think about that in 2006. Go ahead and head down to Wake. It's only about 115 miles from Blacksburg. 2007, the Hokies have Florida State and Miami both at home. Now, the trade-off on that is they had Florida State and Miami on the road in 2008 along with Wisconsin. So 2007's home schedule is looking pretty good, and the road schedule is looking brutal for 2008. Now, having said all that, I want to welcome my guest to the show, Mr. Brian Knoll of Canes Time. Brian, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing? It's good to be here and looking forward to the game on Saturday.
I'm sure the weather down there is a lot nicer than it is up here. What's the weather like down there?
It's typical South Miami. It's about 80, breezy, chance of rain. You can pretty much say that every day.
So a frigid day for you guys at only 80, huh?
Yeah. It'll be, there's a chance of rain on Saturday, but that happens pretty much every game in the Orange Bowl, it seems like.
Now, TechSideline.com fans who go way back might recognize your name. Those who have come onto the website just in the last few years won't recognize it. But you and I, in internet terms, actually go way back because we've known each other since about 1997. Founded HokieCentral.com in 1996, and then in 97 I decided to add a message board, and I had no idea how to go about that. And I don't remember how, Brian, but I remember somebody told me, said, well, you need to talk to Grassi. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Hurricane's internet history, at the time Brian was running a website called Grassi.com that was dedicated to Miami Hurricane Athletics. And I always wondered why it was called Grassi, and then somebody said, well, you need to email him and ask him if he'll host a board for you. So I emailed Grassi at Grassi.com, and I get a response from Brian Knoll, and of course the joke there is Grassi Knoll. So how long, just to get on a little sidetrack there, how long has that nickname been going on?
Well, I mean, I'm 34. It's been going on about, I guess, half of my life. I'd say in high school somewhere, actually some girl gave me the nickname of Grassi Knoll, and I'd never met her, actually. So it kind of stuck with friends. And when I started, you know, I got on the Internet in 95, and the Internet was a baby. I figured, hey, I'll put up my little site here for Miami. We were kind of on down times, on probation. Nobody really cared about Miami, if you will. So when I started the site, I just named it Grassi.com, figuring it would be some, you know, short, simple, easy to remember, and never envisioned it to be any kind of business. So that's how it started, and, you know, in 96 we started the actual, early 96 we started the Miami site, and then shortly thereafter, you know, people like yourself, we had a large East Carolina board that I helped host, and some people from Tulane. So just basically whoever needed help at the time, we tried to, you know, we had a server that was, you know, pretty robust, and the same technology for whatever school, you know, allowed you guys to do some customization for your colors, things like that. And, you know, we were off and running, and here we are now with completely different business models. But it was a good start, and it's hard to believe that was what I think we've done the Miami site about 8.5 years, so.
Yeah, it's amazing to realize that it's been that long. And, you know, back then, of course, I had HokieCentral.com, but then when you went to the message board, it was Grassi.com, and I remember it was /techboard.
Yeah.
That's where you went to access our only one message board. So some tech fans think it's strange that the same parent company owns the Sabre and Tech Sideline, but back then fans used to go to the root, go to Grassi.com, and they'd freak out. They'd say, well, what are you doing getting a message board us by Miami site?
Yeah, what's going on here? Yeah, it was definitely different at the time back then, because we had, you know, East Carolina had beaten Miami a couple of times, and, you know, they had a rivalry going, and they said the same thing. You know, I was hosting, you know, one of their bigger boards, and if they went to the route, you know, just to Grassi.com, they see all this orange and green, and they're like, you know, what's going on? So.
Yeah, the Internet does make strange bedfellows.
Yeah.
Tell you what, let's move on to the game. Got a few topics I want to talk to you about. First of all, you know, I just went down the Virginia Tech injury situation, and I've seen headlines and lead-ins and things like that, Brian, on the Canes injury situation. What can you tell me about that? Bring me up to date on who's out and who's in.
Well, as far as, we have, you know, left tackle problems also. Eric Winston, he's been gone for the year for a while. I don't know if that's known to Hokie fans. I'm sure a lot of them know that. But as far as current players that are, you know, maybe/probables, I mean, our tight end, Greg Olson, is doubtful. He's had a broken wrist and has been playing, and he suffered a setback that, I don't know if he re-injured the same wrist, but he's basically doubtful. He did not practice yesterday. The only other significant injury is Antonio Thomas, defensive tackle, who's been out for a number of games. He is probable. He's probably not going to play a whole lot. You know, Coach Coker's talked about, you know, getting him in between, you know, 10 and 20 plays, but he's very good at run stuffing, and anything we can get him in will be a bonus. So I think that's kind of the way they're treating it. He practiced yesterday, and he'll practice again today. Yesterday was the last day in pads, and he looked pretty good. So I would say those are the two major injuries. Everybody else, we did have a rare Thanksgiving bye week, so I think guys will be, any of the bumps and bruises from the Wake Forest game or, you know, Virginia prior to that, which should be healed by now. And I don't think that there's any other significant injuries out there. Just those two main players that Olson's probably a very doubtful, and Thomas is a probable.
All right, well, and let me ask you, with Jimmy Martin probably being out or being somewhat ineffective at left tackle for Virginia Tech, what does Miami have at right defensive end? Who are they bringing? Who are they going to bring? And how good is the guy?
Well, I mean, Miami this year, I mean, defensive line has not been as strong as, you know, on paper. There was a lot of talk preseason, but they're deep. Just we don't have a, one main guy that's going to play a lot. That's probably a big name. We've got Javon Nanton, who's more of a pass rusher, smaller guy. You know, he had 8 sacks last year. He's not had those numbers this year. Thomas Carroll is, you know, he's the starter. You'll see him. But I think you'll see a lot of rotation and, you know, possibly even, you know, a Will linebacker coming from that side. You know, I think it'll depend on how, you know, your left tackle moves, how it looks early in the game. But I would say you'd see a combination of a Thomas Carroll and Javon Natten coming off that side. And Natten is, you know, he's a smaller guy, but he's extremely quick. So that might be a test if you're talking about Martin having a high ankle sprain and those, you know, mobility is the first issue there. So, you know, Natten would probably be someone that can give him some fits. So we'll see what happens. But well, you know, a combination of those two are who he's going to be facing.
Yeah, I think what you'll see is, you know, the Hokies have been playing a lot of two tight end sets this year with no fullback. So they do that to spread out the defense and make the defense line up honestly and see what they're going to do. So I think what you'll see is you'll continue to see the two tight end sets, and Virginia Tech also tends to keep the running back in to help pick up blitzes. That wasn't going well early in the year, but it's happened really well later in the year and in more recent games. Let me ask you, you know, Alanis Morissette, if I'm getting my pop culture references correct, would love this because it is so ironic that Virginia Tech and Miami are basically playing the ACC championship game. How much hype is there down there in Miami? How excited are the fans? I mean, you know, is this anything they're getting worked up about, given that they've won, you know, 60 bazillion national championships?
I don't think there's excitement because it's the ACC, you know, chance to go, you know, win the inaugural ACC. I think a lot of them, you know, thought we would be pretty solid. We had a really good shot at this year. I just think it's more of an excitement for Virginia Tech than it is ACC. And no disrespect to the ACC, but I just think it's all about, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. They want to go to the BCS, you know, they want to win titles, you know, whether they're, you know, transferred to the Big 12, I don't think they would really care about any Big 12 title games. They just want to get to the BCS. So I think there is excitement. I think it'll be a good crowd on Saturday. It's, you know, disappointing game day couldn't be there, but I understand with the, you know, the other official conference title games. But I think there is excitement more for, you know, just the Hokies being in town and, you know, a shot at the Sugar Bowl, especially since, you know, second place looks like the Peach Bowl, which I don't think either of us are, you know, real fond of going. You know, championship, the Sugar Bowl and the Peach Bowl, obviously, there's a lot of incentive to get to that Sugar Bowl.
Well, I'll tell you what, from the Virginia Tech end of things, I was actually talking to somebody this morning who's making his travel plans for both games, and, you know, he said, hey, it's not going to break my heart if we don't go to the Sugar Bowl. We haven't been to Atlanta in 20 years, and I really like it. So, actually, from the Virginia Tech standpoint, it's a little different. They're excited about either one.
Yeah, I'm just, relatively speaking, I mean, obviously, they'd probably rather take on an undefeated Auburn in a real high-profile game. It's, you know, it's the only game on the third and the eve of the title game. All America will be watching. And the Peach Bowl, you know, it could be a lot worse. I mean, obviously playing Ron Zook in his last game, the Gators will bring a lot of people up to Atlanta. So
yeah,
that'll also be, it could be a lot worse. You're right.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff, how differently they view the game. And, of course, I think Tech fans are more interested in it because it is the opportunity to play Florida. And, you know, Virginia Tech hasn't played Florida since the 80s. Let's move on. Let me ask you about Brock Berlin. You know, last year, Brian, in the game in Lane Stadium, the key was getting a lot of pressure on Berlin, and he really played poorly. He played chuck and duck and turned the ball over a lot and didn't inspire a lot of confidence. Now this year, if I've got my stats correct, I see he's got something like 21 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
I think there's a lot of people out there laboring under the assumption that you know, what they did last year could put pressure on him, that'll turn the ball over a lot. Is he better this year? I mean, give me an estimation of his play and then how much of a leader he is and how important he is.
Well, I think he's dramatically improved. And if you saw him last year, obviously in Lane Stadium was probably the bottom of the barrel. He definitely struggled there. But, you know, he finished the year with a -5 turnover ratio. I mean, 17 picks and only 12 touchdowns. I mean, if Miami running a pro-style offense, it's, you know, obviously that's going to hurt. So the turnaround this year, I think, is, you know, attributed largely to him. It's not as if we have a dramatically improved offensive line. You could even argue the opposite. You know, it's been a makeshift line with some injuries and guys shifting around, and they're not real strong compared to, say, Dorsey in 2001 had one of the best lines, you know, certainly at Miami and in college football recently. So I think he's weathered the criticism, you know, the fans. The spring game was embarrassing. I mean, we have, you know, the spring game is, quote-unquote, your own hardcore fans coming in. They were even booing them there. I mean, Miami's a tough place. I've always said it takes a special kind of player to go in there because you know, you don't just have to be talented. You have to put up with the expectations. I mean, losing is unacceptable, and not winning by enough is even frowned upon. It's crazy. So,
well, yeah, from that standpoint, it's like a pro franchise, like playing for
it
the
is.
Lakers or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they do well with the pros because they come in, you know, obviously the level of play is much greater, but the intensity, just through the media, I mean, you talk to the players and the criticism, and, you know, Coker, I think a lot of fans outside of Miami would be surprised if you, you know, show up at a Miami tailgate or, you know, hang out in the Orange Bowl, and, you know, his approval rating is probably much lower than a lot of people would expect at being, you know, 43-5 in his tenure or something like that. So, I mean, they want, you know, it is tough. It's a really tough town that, you know, if you win, that's fine. The next time you better win by more or something like that. And I think Brock has just done great. He's really taken it in. He's just said, hey, you know, it's, he's taken it and kind of fueled it to get better. And he's done well this year. The main goal was to just play efficient. Don't, you know, don't try and do everything yourself and, you know, use your weapons. He's got a very young wide receiver core. He's got Frank Gore coming back who's not 100%. So I think, honestly, where the offense is, especially lately, you know, we've played pretty well. I give him a lot of credit. So I think it is definitely more of what he's done rather than, say, you know, people not getting pressure on him or playing bad defenses, things like that. So,
yeah, okay. Well, you know, let me ask you, what do you see as the key matchups on Saturday? You know, what are going to be the keys for Miami's success against Virginia Tech?
Well, I think, you know, you can overanalyze it all day long. I think if you break it down in the simplest terms, I think it'll, for Miami's standpoint, it'll be very similar to Wake Forest. I think it'll be a glorified Wake Forest. Virginia Tech is obviously a better team, but I think they have similar MOs. You know, Wake Forest wanted to shorten the game, run the ball, keep it close. I think, if I'm right, I think they were they had played 9 games before the Miami game, and every single game they had led or been tied in the last couple of minutes. And
yeah, they've had a whole season like that that they haven't finished well. Yeah.
So, you know, Miami was able to come out, score early, get on them, and take them out of that, you know, run the ball, run the ball. If Virginia Tech is able to get some scores early, either keep it tied or, you know, keep a lead and they're able to run the ball, then, you know, I think they have a very good shot. If Miami can get a lead and, like you said, playing the 2 tight end, you know, keeping the back end, if they're forced to throw the ball, all of a sudden Martin is not as, you know, as mobile and Miami's able to contain Randall, then, you know, I think Miami has a good shot. So, you know, that to me is the key, is basically who gets a good start. You know, I think if Virginia Tech does and is able to continue to run the ball, shorten the game, Miami's going to be in trouble, and vice versa, if Miami can get up and kind of open that offense up, Virginia Tech being forced to throw the ball, we'll just have to see. Miami, you know, should be in a better situation that way.
Well, for Virginia Tech, one of the keys in the UVA game was that their offense did not, Virginia Tech's offense did not play well in the first half. They were getting handled at the line of scrimmage. But the defense was able to keep it scoreless at halftime, so the Tech offense was able to be very patient and then take advantage of the opportunities that presented themselves in the second half. So that's absolutely true. You know, having said that, if Brock Bruin is a lot improved, so is Brian Randall. The light bulb seems to have gone on for him in the last 6 or 7 games. He's last 6 games, Brian, he's got 12 touchdowns and 1 interception. But more than that, you can see his confidence in the pocket. He's progressing through his reads. He's going to second and third options and really has become more of a complete quarterback. So if the Canes get up 14-0, 10-0, something like that, it doesn't necessarily spell doom for the Hokies, but they do have to keep it within 2 scores. And this team has been really good about being cool if they can keep it within 2 scores and just taking their time and being patient.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, let's throw out there the name that you think Brent Musburger will mispronounce the most.
It's hard to say. The announcers, even not just him, but all of college football, anytime I get a chance to watch a game, either after I get back from a Miami game or something, it seems like all the announcers are mashing them. It's hard to say. I mean, it's if some of these guys are told like an hour before kickoff what teams they're going to be covering, and they're always kind of, you know, mixing it up. I don't know. I mean, we don't have any really, really hard names that, you know, he should mess up, but, you know, I agree that these characters are, you know, they always seem to have, it's not necessarily getting the name wrong, it's a matter of, you know, calling a certain jersey number a completely different player. That seems to be...
Well, I love it when they get the teams mixed up, when that guy, number 45 from Miami, makes a tackle, and they give you the Virginia Tech players.
Right. Yeah, you can see he's got the card in front of him, and he reads off the wrong column or
something.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, well, you know, appreciate you being on, Brian. We're approaching about 20 minutes here, which is my attention span. I don't think it's the attention span of my listeners, but so I appreciate you being on, and I know you got an appointment you need to get to, and you know, hopefully we'll have a good game on Saturday, and we'll come out with no major injuries from it, and put on a good show for the ACC and ABC and the nation.
That's right. Good luck to you guys. Travel safe, and we'll see you Saturday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Okay, take care.
And that will do it for this edition of TSL Audio, and thank you very much for listening, folks, and there will be more coming soon.